Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, we were speaking about putting God first in our lives, and I know that's very difficult to do. We are so self-centered, and if we've gotten past the self-centeredness enough to love our families and love the people around us, it's still a battle because we're sinful, we're limited, and we're so, even though we may try hard, we're still so focused in on ourselves. How does this benefit me? Even if we say, I'm concerned for so-and-so, but you're also wondering, how does this benefit me? We just can't get rid of it. It's part of our fallen nature. But God can give us power to change if we trust Him. Let me take a look at the readings for today and see if I can tie yesterday into today. The first reading is from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 47, verses 1 to 2, 8 to 9, and 12. The angel brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water flowing out from beneath the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the facade of the temple was toward the east. The water flowed down from the southern side of the temple south of the altar. He led me outside by the north gate and around to the outer gate facing the east, where I saw water trickling from the southern side. And he said to me, "This water flows into the eastern district down upon the Arabah and empties into the sea, the salt waters, which it makes fresh. Wherever the river flows, every sort of living creature that can multiply shall live, and there shall be abundant fish for whoever this water comes, the sea shall be made fresh. Along both banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, for they shall be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit shall serve for food, and their leaves for medicine." Brothers and sisters, he's describing the water of life. He's describing the grace poured out upon you in baptism, where the living waters have begun to flow in your soul. And even though we've detoured, even though perhaps we've dammed up the race of God by our own sin, He waits to nourish us and to strengthen us on the waters of life. And that water brings life. Life, which is why I said yesterday, we need, especially when we're dealing with our family members, we're dealing with relatives, or we're dealing with coworkers and we've got some strife and challenges and difficulties. We need the living water of God's grace flowing through our lives. And the more we live by that and repent when we fail, the more God can work through us to bring reconciliation and peace. But an awful lot depends upon our willingness to say, "Lord, I want your priorities of love and forgiveness and mercy to be my priorities. I want to truly be a temple of your Holy Spirit. And let the living water of your grace flow through me to all those for whom I am responsible, to all those I love. Help me. Let the graces of my baptism come alive in me." God looks to our free will. He pours out gifts upon us, but we can let them be dormant and never touched. So I often say to the Lord, "Lord, thank you for all the gifts you gave me in my baptism. Let them be at work today. I open my heart to receive your inspiration, your understanding." And He gives it. But we just don't think that. And what the prophet Ezekiel is prophesying here is that we're going to have fresh water, we're going to have good food, we're going to be protected, we're even going to have fruit trees, and not only will we have good food, but we'll have good medicine from those same fruits Brothers and sisters, this is not just a pious image. It is an image, but it's an image of a reality for all of those of us who have been baptized. For all of us who have been baptized, this is true. But God never violates our free will. He forever lives to make intercession for us. But then it depends on our cooperation with the grace, with the inspiration, with the desire that might flit through our brain for a moment. Just get down on your knees and say, Lord, you've gifted me tremendously. Help me to receive those gifts. Help me to live by the standards of those gifts, that perhaps peace and harmony may be restored in my family or in a particular relationship. Or it may be restored in my workplace or where I recreate, wherever we function, wherever we live day in and day out. God wants to pour out the graces of our baptism and our confirmation, all the sacraments. He wants those graces. Those are not just ceremonies. They are gifts. But we have to open them. And as someone said, we have to read the owner's manual, which, of course, is the scripture, the teaching of the church, the catechism. Read and open your heart to receive. Psalm 46, the waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. The waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. That's for us. That's for us. It says, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in distress. Therefore, we fear not, though the earth be shaken and mountains plunge into the depths of the sea. And we're certainly seeing right now in the world all kinds of catastrophes going on. Have we realized that God is trying to warn us? Brothers and sisters, let's put our faith once again in Him. And His waters will not destroy us, but they will nourish us and strengthen us. There's a second reading in today's liturgy because it is the Feast of the Dedication of the Lateran Basilica, which is an opportunity to thank God for all the places of worship, that God is present in a particular way in all of these places of worship. Let us take advantage of it. Second reading is the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 9 to 11, and then 16 to 17. Brothers and sisters, you are God's building. According to the grace of God given to me like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building upon it, but each one must be careful how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one that is there, namely Jesus Christ. You want your life, you want your relationships, you want your professional gifts, you want everything in your life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You want to build on the foundation that He has given us in baptism. You want to build on that. Just ask God, help me, lead me, show me, guide me, and He will. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? See, the scriptures tell us this, and we just don't pay attention to it. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For the temple of God which you are is holy. You're holy. You're called to carry Him and to give Him away to all those in need. In the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 13 to 22, since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords, and he drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen. He spilled the coins of the money changers. He overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, take these out of here and stop making my father's house a marketplace. Our churches are supposed to be places of worship. Are we giving true worship? While we may be there without all the money changers, etc., what are we thinking about when we enter the house of the Lord? Are we laying aside all the earthly concerns and giving him the worship that belongs to him? His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Now, he's speaking about his own body, but the Jews, totally confused, say, "This temple's been under construction for 46 years, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days? He was speaking about the temple of his body. And therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Zeal for your house will consume me. Does zeal for God's house consume you? Are you committed to live as a true Christian, a true Catholic, and bring God the worship that belongs to him? Or do you come into the church in body, but your minds are on the things of this world? It takes self-discipline. It takes practice. But you can do it. When we enter the house of God, we worship him. We want zeal for his house to consume us. We want to give our lives, bringing him honor and glory. That's the full purpose of our lives, brothers and sisters, to thank him, to give him honor and glory, and then to reach out to as many people as we can and bring the good news to them. Teach them first by your example. And I'm not talking about just looking pious in church. I'm talking about laying everything before him when you come into church and say, "I want to adore you and worship you. I lay these needs before you, asking that you will help me to answer them. But I give you now, Lord, in this next hour, the honor and the glory and the praise that belongs to you." Do I do that? And when I get distracted, do I bring myself back to it? Do I practice a self-discipline that enables me to give him the worship that is due? That through the sacraments, we have been given the graces to be sons and daughters of God. We have been given the graces to know him and to love him and to serve him. Are we accepting those gifts? Are we, in a sense, actualizing those gifts, that he may receive the worship that belongs to him? May God bless you and lead you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.